reading to you from the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew's, and with the 2nd verse. And behold, they were bringing to him a paralytic, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. One year later, God called me to preach, and I've been telling people about Jesus ever since. Well, friends, you know, we're starting a new year right away. I do hope and pray that you decided this year you was going to try to do more for Jesus than you've ever done in your life. Oh, that would be pleasing to the Lord. You know, friends, He really wants to bless us, but He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to give our all, put our all on the altar that God can use us. He wants to use you, and He wants to bless you. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea and a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. That's the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. Let's begin reading with the 8th verse. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in a jar, and behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and depart, prepare for me and my son that we might eat it and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall a jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends a rain in the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. I listed this message as "Not." That's the name of the message, "Not," N-O-T. Well, the Lord had given Elijah a message to deliver, and he did it. And so the Lord said, "Now I want you to go so-and-so place." Well, he went down there and, excuse me, and my stars in the morning, he was by a little shade tree, and the little brook was running by there so he could have cool water, and the ravens come and brought him meat every day. And my stars, he thought he died and went to heaven. Wait a minute, though. Something's going to terrible happen. The water went dry. The Lord said, "I've got a job for you. Now get going." So he went down there and he met with this widow. In the meantime, the Lord had met with the widow and assured her that things were going to be all right. But she really thought she and her son was going to die. There was a great famine in the land. Now she and her sons were almost out of food. Friends, can I share this with you quickly? Many of you have heard it, but I'll tell it again because it fits with the story. I was associate pastor of a church in Bellingham, Washington. And they were supposed to pay my wife and I and family $80 a month, but they never did get the money. It wasn't the church was dishonest. They were just a poor church. They just wasn't much money. Well, anyhow, we were down to just a pound and a half or two of white navy beans. That's all we had in our house to eat. And I had five children to feed. So I took those beans and I put them on the stove, and I found a wilted carrot and a wilted potato, and I put it in there and put it on low heat, and I went to bed. About 6 in the morning or so, I woke up. The Lord woke me up, and I smelled those beans. And I never was much fond of Navy beans. I ate a lot of them in the Navy. But this time I was really thankful for those beans. And I thanked him for it, went back to sleep. And about 7 o'clock, there was a man knocked at our door. Finally found out that it was the father of the lady who used to play the organ for me in revivals and things. Anyway, he knocked on the door and said, "Are you Cecil Moe?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "The Lord sent me this for you." And it was a sack with two loaves of bread. And when I got in there, I took the loaves of bread out, and there was a ham in there and a $20 bill. Oh, Father, friends, I know exactly how this dear lady must have felt. Oh, listen, friends, let me tell you what. God promises he'll take care of us if we'll do his bidding. I don't know why so many Christians can't believe that things like that happen even today. Do you know, I can tell you another story of a man and a wife that went to North Seattle, Washington, and he had a premonition or a calling from God to take a lease option on this piece of ground. And it's today called King something. But anyway, they took an option on that ground. Now, they came home from church one day. They didn't have one bit of things in that house to eat. His name was Mike Martin. Had nothing to eat. And he told his, she said, "Well, what are we going to do, honey?" And he said, "Go set the table." But she said, "There's nothing to eat." He said, "Just go set the table." So she set the table, and he and his wife and his son sat down to the table that was empty with food. He bowed his head, and he asked the blessing on the food that he was about to receive, and ding-dong, the doorbell rang. He went to the door, and here was a deacon of his church with a whole Sunday dinner. What had happened, he was called out of town. It was death in his family, and he was called out of town, and they had that dinner delivered to them. My dear friends, God honors faith. Well, God changed this widow's negatives into positives. He moved her from poverty to plenty. And he brought her from anxiety to assurance. Elijah could come from Cherith with help from God. Now, the widow's journey from have not to wasted not. She said, "I have not." This woman was a widow, of course, and was a woman of great faith. How we need women today with great faith. Beloved, if it wasn't for the women, we probably wouldn't have churches today. They're always the first one in church. I've pastored. There was more women than men because they wanted to serve the Lord. But God was able to communicate with her. Friends, you know what? Lots of times we don't listen to God. He'll tell us, but we won't listen. You say, "Well, does he sit down and write you a letter?" Well, what do you think the Word of God is? It's a letter. What do you think John 3:16 is? It's a letter from heaven, "For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what this Bible is. It's a love letter from heaven. Well, she had been expecting Elijah. Now, what would be expected of her? Elijah arrived, and he was thirsty, and he was hungry, and he said, "Fetch me a little water." I bet she said, "What a relief. He might have asked me for some food." But then he did. He said, "Bring me a morsel of bread." She said, "I have not a cake." See, listen, friends, do you know what happens? Depression moves in. She sees only death ahead. Now listen to this. Listen, focus on what you don't have, and depression will follow. Let me say that again. Focus on what you don't have, and depression will follow. She had a handful of meal and a little oil. Let me ask you, friends, what do you have that God can use today? You know, friends, listen to me. I've said this time and again, and I'm going to keep saying it. Did you know that there's no place in God's work for selfish Christians? I mean that, beloved. I mean that. Some people have the gift of giving. I want to tell you about a man here in Colorado. You see, when my son's two boys, after my son died, they took over his business. And I had had the privilege of introducing him to Christ a year before he died. And did you know those boys decided to send Mo Evangelistic Association $250 a month, which they did for 20 years. Well, what happened? They sold their business and retired. Well, that was $250. I am not going to tell you how much I spend on books and films and things, and I spend thousands of dollars a year on them. Did you know one day a good friend of mine, we're not of the same faith, but we're the same Jesus. Did you know what he did? He sat down and he sent out a check. This is the first of the month. He sent a check for $400. I just could not believe it. 2 weeks later, I received a check for $400 for Mo Evangelistic Association. That's $800. That dear brother has been sending this ministry $800 a month for these past few years. If it had been for them, I would not have been able to do what I'm doing. I wouldn't have been able to give out Christmas baskets. We give out food baskets for years, tons of food to many, many people. But this man, he stepped in the gap. Friends, that's the way this God of ours operates. If you'll just trust him and you rely upon him and keep your hand out of the cookie jar and let him dictate to you how he wants you to give. Well, in verse 13 it says, fear not. Then Elijah said, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. Oh, listen. Did you know fear is a terrible thing? Do you remember what happened to Adam? And they were out there hiding. Why were they hiding? Well, because they were naked. And because God had forbid them to partake of the tree of knowledge. And they took it. And he warned them. He said, if you take it, I'll guarantee. He didn't say guarantee. He said, you'll die. Well, they were cast forth from the garden. What a terrible tragedy. You see, friends, again, there's old Satan. Satan is always there to tempt us to do wrong. But I'll tell you, if you follow the leadership of God's Holy Spirit and ask him about the... Do you know there's a lot of people getting married today and never ask the Lord? People are buying homes and never ask the Lord, or investing money. They're doing a lot of things, and they're putting their lives before the Lord. Well, listen. We need to put our trust in Jesus. Fear is common to all. So many kinds of fears may beset us. For instance, fears about our family. Fears about health. Fears about money. Now here's Elijah's advice to the worried widow. She was to make that cake, do the routine thing. But first, she was to make a cake for him. Friends, listen. Always put God's first. In Matthew 6:33, but seek to do his kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. Put the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added to you. He knows what you need. He knows you need food. He knows you need car payments. He knows you need rent. But he wants you and I to put him first. That's a fact. He has to come first. In giving God priority, we overcome our fears. Now, the barrel of meal wasted not. 14th verse. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall a jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Oh, listen. Things turned out better than the widow expected. We have all feared things that didn't happen. Now, the widow put God's will first, and he provided for her. Lessons learned by the widow. God is faithful at all times. We can't outgive God. Listen, friends. Are fears robbing you of the joy of living? I want to give you some advice. Trade your fears for faith. Give Christ first place in your life. He has promised to provide for you. And I'm asking you another. This is a personal question, dear friends. It's very personal, but I want to ask it of you. Are you robbing from God and his tithes and offerings? You say, Cecil, I am so poor I can't pay attention. Beloved, I want to tell you, after I first got saved, we were strapped financially, but I joined that church. But every Sunday morning when that plate went around, I'd put my dollar faithfully in that offering tray just as proud as a peacock. I'm help supporting a preacher. I'm help supporting missionaries. I'm doing this and that. But then one day, the pastor in a pastor's study showed me from the Word of God that tithing was of the Lord. Well, first of all, I was shocked. I couldn't believe that I could possibly give 10% of my offering to the Lord. I just could not do that. But he kept saying, Cecil, I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. So finally, we decided we would do that. And I want to tell you my first experience. We had $15 in the bank. I had no work. I had no roof jobs or nothing. And my tithe was $10. And I was sitting in my desk and I said, Lord, according to what Tom Baird said and what the Bible teaches, you said that I need to give 10% of my tithe of my offerings. But Lord, I said, that gives me $5. But Lord, I will do it. I wrote out a check for $10 to get ready to go to church. And friends, I hadn't even got up from my desk and a phone rings. And this man said, Cecil Moe, this is so-and-so from North Seattle. Do you remember me? Oh, sure, I said. I guess a couple of months ago or whenever. I come over and give a bid on your roof. He said, that's right. Well, he said, my wife and I was having coffee this morning, and we decided we want you to put that roof on. When could you do it? And I said, would tomorrow be too soon? Friends, that was my first beginning of tithing, and I could take and tell you thousands of stories how God has supplied our needs. No, you can't buy favor with God. Don't get me wrong. You can't buy favor with God. But that 10% is his, not yours. So when you're spending that money, you're spending his money. I'll tell you something else, friends. Giving is one of the greatest things that I've learned as a Christian. I mean that, and I'm not saying that. My halo is not too tight on my head. But that's the one thing I learned. And God showed me and my wife in Riverside, California, when they gave me up to die with a lung tumor. And I was bedridden for 3 months, no money, no nothing. And God sent tons, literally tons of groceries to our homes, to our home to help us through this time. From our churches and from other churches that I'd spoke in, they heard about us. Oh, I tell you, can't outgive God. Please, dear friends, learn that lesson from God. Ask him, Lord, we can't afford to give, but you said we should and we're going to do it. And you know something else, dear friends, that I've learned about tithing? he stretches that other 90%. He honestly does. I heard a guy he used to tie and he quit. And a transmission went out of his car and he said, whoop, I better go back and tie it. Oh, friends, listen. This is a beautiful story of God's providing grace. And you know what else? Her little boy died. And she got so upset about that. Oh, my stars. And you know what? Elijah took the little fella up and prayed over him and brought, and he came back to life. And this is the last thing that this woman said. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Oh, I trust, I pray that that'll happen in my ministry, that people will believe that I'm sincere. I'm not the smartest guy in the world or sharpest knife in the drawer. But, oh, I believe that Jesus Christ has taken care of me and my family over the years, over 51 years that I've known him. There's been time when we didn't know what we was going to have to eat, but I always worked hard. I always had to work. I never did get a salary, but I had to work. I've had to work since I've been called to preach, and I'm not ashamed of it. Now I can't work, but I still going out and preaching. Still not going to quit preaching. As long as he'll give me breath in my lungs, I'm going to go tell about Jesus. Well, you know, remember when the disciples were out there with all those 5,000 people? And the disciples, well, we're going to feed them. Well, the Lord had a couple of fish and a couple of bread and a little bread, and he fed them all. You know, there's a thing I want to share with you, and I want you to write this down. Little is a lot when God is in it. Friend, you say, Cecil, you know, I really wished that I had your faith. No, no, no. You just had the faith that God will give you. He'll give you faith if you look up to him, if you repent of your sins, if you'll trust him, he'll give you that faith. And keep using it. Keep working it. It's just like talent. I've had people say, I only got one talent. Well, I've only probably had one talent, but I'm working on more. Because the more talent I get, the more I can serve the Lord. You say, Cecil, you know what? It sounds pretty good, but, you know, I don't even know Jesus. I don't even know if he's up there. Well, he is. He sure is. Can you say that you know you're a sinner? Sure, you know you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're willing to turn your back on that old way of life and come to Jesus as a little child, opening your heart, he will receive you. This is a prayer that changed my life and it can change yours, but don't pray it unless you really mean it. And here's how it goes. Oh, precious Lord, I thank you for hearing my prayer tonight. Lord, I am so sorry for my sins. And Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, would you get on the phone? Call 303-471-8534. I want to hear from you. I won't embarrass you. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. And again, I won't write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I've been doing this for 40 years on the radio, telling people to call. I've led many, many, many people to Christ on the phone. And if you don't know how to be saved, call me, will you? 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
stars.